Good morning, everyone.
Please forgive our delay here a little bit, but I trust today that you spent some time in prayer this morning, maybe praying for a soul to be saved, maybe praying for our hearts to be changed, but for God to be at work in this day that he's given us today. It is a wonderful day, isn't it? I know you're saying, what do you see out there, Pastor? I see showers of blessings falling. Because I can hear people about a month from now saying, boy, it's pretty dry, Pastor, we're in trouble. Thank God for his goodness and his grace today. I welcome you in the name of Jesus today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. No, the Bible says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let's stand this morning. We're going to sing to the Lord. I trust your heart is thirsty today for what he has for us. We're going to sing. Today the emphasis, and it has been in our Sunday evening services, is on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is anyone excited about that today? We'll talk about that more. But 477 this morning, channels only, and what this song's about. It's by God using us as conduits for the Holy Spirit's work in our life and in the lives of others. I hope you're excited today about what God has called us to do and what he's done for us. Here we go. Now I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us. Amen. Father, we approach your throne today in humbleness, and also we recognize today it's only on the basis and merit of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to offer you praise, Lord, and adoration today. We know today, Lord, you're at work in our lives and in our world. Lord, we thank you today, too, not only for the personalities of the Father and the Son, but of the Holy Spirit. And I see him working yet today, Lord, in lives. Yes, I'm getting a little teary-eyed, Lord, but there are things going on today in lives. And you're dealing with us. And Lord, we need to let your Spirit have free course. Again, he's the one that empowers and it endues, Lord. And we give that praise to you today. Now, Lord, again, we thank you for this assembly today. Kim and I prayed earlier today, Lord, that lives would be changed today, maybe a soul won to Christ. We were talking today, Lord, in the junior, senior high class about when you shut the door to the ark. And yet today, Lord, the ark of salvation is open. The door is open. In fact, you're knocking and saying, come in. Lord, may that be something today we are truly grateful for, those of us that have been redeemed. And Lord, that others that the Spirit may be calling today would walk through that door into the safety of your arms. Now, Lord, we thank you again for all that have come out. We pray that you would bless us today, Lord. The showers of blessing are falling, literally in the rain, but also, Lord, in what you have for us this day from your word. And Lord, help us and forgive us that we take your blessings so frivolously and most of the time don't even acknowledge what you've done for us, especially, Lord, for our salvation, that you paid for at high price, a cost that we can't even understand. But Lord, I pray today that this day would be something that is found pleasing in your sight. Now, Lord, we also know there are many infirmities today. And Lord, I'm talking a little bit about people with physical ailments. We know that there are people that are headed to meet you soon, very likely, or that are in the throes of illness. But Lord, my biggest concern today, and I think yours, is our spiritual ailments. Oh Lord, may we come to you today as the great physician. Heal us, I pray, Lord, you're willing. And may this day be one that is used for your honor and glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As you probably have noticed already from the worship folder, we are not having choir, at least for the foreseeable future, through the summer at least. So this Sunday only, we've added an extra hymn, and that is number 246 in the hymnal, or it's on your screen, Pentecostal Power, 246. Have you felt the power of the Holy Spirit, or have you quenched it and resisted it? Let him have free course in your life today. Lord, as of old at Pentecost, thou didst thy power display, cleansing, purifying flame, send on us today. Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, the gates of blessing. Chapter 2, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. The word in the Greek is pneumas, a mighty rushing wind, tongues of flames of fire. I'll tell you what, folks, the early days of the church and at different periods of time since have been on fire with the Holy Spirit. We need that, my friends, today. He is here if you'll let him have control. And we can see dynamic things. God's program is not antiquated, it's current. But how we approach that is very important. Let's sing the rest of this hymn this morning. For mighty works we prepare and strengthen every heart. Take possession of thy own and nevermore depart. Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power. Speak more. forgive me for my cough. This morning at this time, I'd like us to take a quick look at the right-hand side of your bulletin and also on the screen. Some announcements for the upcoming week. We know we have a major week ahead of us, as always. Seems like every week there's a lot of things that are on the agenda. Realize this, that even though we've been officially released from needs for wearing masks, I still encourage us to do that if you're led to do it. And we, as you know, we have had a problem here in the last week here at Fruitland that there was someone that was positive. We let everyone know about that with the COVID. But again, take precautions if you're led to do that. And we have those things, those resources available in the back. But also remember to pray for all these type of things. I know one thing that has come out of this pandemic, and that is Satan's efforts that he has to try to destroy God's people and his church. And so don't ever, you know, be cautious and use good sense, but don't stop relying on the Lord. And don't get hooked on what Satan wants to have happen. But we want to let you know about that. Tonight, though, our evening service at 6 o'clock, it's part three of Investigating Spiritual Gifts. We have an emphasis here lately on the Holy Spirit. And also be aware that on the 13th of June in the evening, we'll have our quarterly business meeting. So if there are items that need to be placed on the agenda for that meeting, please let myself or Deb know about that. Also this Thursday at 6 o'clock, Wilton Bible Study, Men's Bible Study this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. And also the memorial service over at the Fruitland Cemetery at 9 o'clock this coming Monday, Memorial Day. You notice my thought for the week? Do your part to promote a biblical culture in the era of cancel culture. And also a retreat meeting again on June 13th at 4:30. And I do want to just take a moment to emphasize that. We are planning a couple of big events here at Fruitland. September 24th and 25th, Lord willing, we're working and preparing to have what we're going to call a Gearheads in the Gospel men's retreat. So we hope to have this whole lot full of displays of trucks, cars, tractors, gearhead stuff. But the important part of that is that we also are using this as an opportunity for men, and women are included as well. You're welcome to come. But it's a time when there's going to be gospel preaching, two services, and an introduction hopefully to some people that maybe wouldn't hear the Word of God preached and the gospel presented. And we are excited about that. And we're going to have a pastor from down at Lockridge, Iowa. Earl Swigert is his name. And he's a guy, he's in his 80s, but he'll preach the Word of God. And he likes collecting old tractors and things that appeal to gearheads. And so we're going to publicize this. Next Sunday, I'll be talking a little bit during our lunch at the fellowship. There are places that everyone here can help out in. And it will not be hard work or work that's a drudgery, but it'll be, again, a privilege to have a opportunity to serve the Lord through that event. And then also don't forget, at Thanksgiving, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we'll have an Institute for Creation Research seminar and speaking on that day. And that'll be a community-wide thing. Everyone's always invited to come here, but that'll be focused. We'll publicize that well. I hope to see this place packed out in every service. I think we can still hold about 240. I'd like to see more than that. But pray about those things that God can use in our community and in our region to reach people for Jesus Christ. You see the kitchen team there and so forth. I don't know if there's anything else we need to announce this morning, but you've got a good handle here on what's to come in the week ahead, should the Lord tarry. Anything else? Yes, Autumn.
Just a short music committee meeting afterwards to fill out the next month's slots.
Okay, very good. You heard that from Autumn. Today, if you have critical needs, Kim and I will have just a few moments after the service today. We need to make a call out of town. And, of course, if you have needs at any time, you always can call me. We will greet you at the door like always. But if there's a critical need, we will wait. But we do have some things we need to attend to today of a spiritual nature, of course. And so we'll be able to visit with you at that time. Yes, Kim. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm not sure if I'm too late in the afternoon. We have met last
Yes.
So we kind of want to get on that sooner rather than later so that there's some needs that need to be addressed.
Okay. And Lisa, that in part is my fault, and I've told you that, but I think the congregation has said we would like to revisit the budget and what's to take place. So I think the appropriate time for that will be June 13th, if the VBS team can have those things prepared to present.
I'm prepared to present. I was hoping to present a little earlier.
Oh. Well, we can try next week or maybe tonight. We won't be able to accomplish that this morning, though. I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
but, Yeah. Are you prepared to do it this evening, briefly?
I can.
Okay. Then we'll do that towards the end of the service tonight.
Okay?
Just a quick heads up and then a decision, you know, if there needs to be things done, then we'll do that the 13th. Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, at this time, we want to refocus on the Lord. And, again, we're here to worship Him. This is called a worship service. And so at this time, there are many ways that we can worship Him. One of those ways is through giving, and God's been very benevolent toward us here at Fruitland Baptist Church. You know, He's supplied all of our needs through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We don't sit here in the dark rooms, I was going to say smoke-filled rooms, no, wondering, Lord, what kind of a scheme do we have to cook up, or is there a program that we need to present, or... You know, but what do? We rely on Him by faith and accept Him for what He says. And He supplied all of our needs. So we're here today not to ask for anything. We're here to thank Him for everything, right? Yeah. So today, as you're directed to give, and you know that here at Fruitland, we are wrong. And I mean, we have our problems. We're sinners. But you know what? We're going to trust God here. And He's never let us down. But as He directs you today, through the giving, maybe in a material way of finances, remember, He's given it all to us anyway. He's so good, you know. And also, what's our heart motive this morning? You know, as we go into worship, I'm sure that all of us have struggled today in one way or another. I can't go into details this morning, but already this morning, what a blessing here today of what God's been doing. And that's why I'm a little weepy this morning. I get excited, but I also get emotional when I see the Lord work. But just do this today. Pray that God will work in the lives today of who He's calling to be saved. Amen. And He is at work, and His Spirit is at work. Let's bow, and we'll have a little time of introspection here, too, as the ladies play after we have this prayer. Father, thank You again today. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. So often we've got it so wrong, but we are sometimes made plainly aware through the act of the Spirit, through the Word, how wrong we have it, but how right You have it. And I just pray today, Lord, that You'll continue to work here in the lives of people. We pray today for people to be saved. We pray today for Christians that are here today, Lord, that have received You. They've trusted by faith through Your grace and understood that they're sinners, but You saved them. You loved us. And yet, Lord, maybe they've walked away from You today. And I can confess to You, Lord, there's times I walk away. I'm not where I ought to be. But, Lord, You're always willing to take us back. And You're willing to lift us up. And I pray today, Lord, that we'll go to You and that this day will be used mightily of You. Now, Lord, this is an opportunity we have today as well to give to You. And I say this, Lord, out of abundance, because we all are abundantly blessed in ways that often we don't even think about. So, Lord, it's all Yours. May You be pleased in our hearts today as we give back to You. And also, Lord, as we go into our time in the Word, and today the focus is on the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, I think He's often neglected. And He wants to be active and vibrant in the lives of the believers. You've given Him as our earnest, our down payment. We know that He exists and that You exist. But so often, Lord, we don't respond. So I pray today that there be a heartfelt and genuine response from the hearers today. Lord, that this would be a day that is found pleasing and glorifying in your sight, but also, Lord, that your activity here today and in our lives would be like none other. So we offer this time to you for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jason has a presentation for us this morning to God's glory. So, Jason, we're glad to hear that today.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Psalm 84, 1 and 2. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Now, today's song is a fill-in song, so it doesn't match the message perfectly, but I did want to say that none of our hearts can long for the glory of God without the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of a litmus test, if I could use that old word, to see where we stand with God. Praise the Lord.
Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere. To see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I will ask and see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
Man, Jason. Man. That's the message right there, isn't it? Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Isn't that sad? All the things we miss potentially when we don't put the Lord first and when we don't enter into His courts with thanksgiving and with praise and with joy. Well, hopefully we have some time here this morning to spend around His throne today. And know this, that we have that afforded to us every day in Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we know that His throne is open and His Holy Spirit is ever present with us, and we have that opportunity to have a worship service with Him each and every moment of each and every day. Anyway, I greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I am excited about His program yet. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm very positive on His program because He's positive on it. And the thing is, He wants all of us to be, and He wants the people of this world to understand what He has offered. And let me just ask you this. The title of our message this morning is The Ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and in particular today as pertaining to the saved. But let me ask you, have you ever squandered a benefit? Well, we'll talk about that this morning. Let's go to prayer. Father, may You have free course today in our lives. Lord, I need Your help today to preach this message. It's been an emotional day for me. And Lord, sometimes I get disrupted, but I pray today that Your word will come alive to us. And what Jason just reminded us of this morning, it is better, Lord, to have one day in Your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Lord, we're a straying bunch, though. We get diverted and our attention gets off and our focus gets removed from You to the other things, Lord, that really don't amount to a lot. So help us, Lord, to rely on You and that we can rely on Your blessings. And I pray today that You'll prosper this day in Your house as we meet together. And Lord, that we'll all leave here unlike we came in. Lord, that we'll be filled and changed and that we'll be ready for duty and to, again, Lord, count and be shown all Your goodness that's given toward us. So now, Lord, may You prosper this time, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back to that thought about that, and this is a little off my text here this morning, but you know, let me just say this. Do you take more time in your life to consider your bank account than your blessing account? Something that I found incredible when I ran the barrel plant or wherever else I dealt with hiring or working with people. And by the way, I was not the stereotypical boss that sat in an office and watched the other people do the work. When I ran a business, I was right there with the employees. And I usually took the worst jobs and the dirtiest jobs because I thought that was always my position as a servant of Jesus Christ, to treat people very well, the best I could. But I was always amazed when you would hire someone new. One of the first questions that came out of their mouth wasn't even the hours of the day or the specific job that they might have to do, but you tell me what it was. What are my benefits? When do we get paid? Do you agree with that? Now let's lay it on the line here this morning. We all have that problem, don't we? Because we live in the flesh. But we also know that Jesus wants to live in the Spirit. He wants us to let that stuff go and trust Him. Don't worry about the bank account, but worry about the blessing account. Or don't worry about the blessing account, but enjoy it. But here's the problem, folks, and I'll get into this as I introduce this message. We don't realize all the benefits that the Lord's given us because we're too tied up in all this other stuff. Just what Jason sang about, one day in his courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Can we admit today, folks, probably for most of us, our response as humans is to be somewhere for 1,000 days elsewhere. You agree with that? We tend to throw away the blessings of the Holy Spirit. So today, I hope to challenge you and appeal to you to consider these things I'm going to illustrate today. Now, some of you may say today's message is boring. It's not the type of a message maybe you wanted to hear, but you know what? We need to hear about what God's done for us. How do you know what you have afforded to you if you don't know what He's done or if you don't acknowledge it? And one of the things, folks, that's neglected is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He's dynamic. And Satan used various ways to squelch Him. But let me tell you, if we'll let the Spirit have free course in our lives, big things are going to happen. They still can happen. No, we are not in the same day as Acts chapter 2, but the same things abound. They had it worse. Didn't they? They had Judaism that was resisting the power of the Holy Spirit. They had the Roman Empire that was resisting the power of the Holy Spirit. They had cultures, pagan cultures, where the early Christians went into those areas. And they were resisted by Satan and his efforts. Folks, we have nothing to fear today. We need to just believe and we need to appreciate and work with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because dynamic things will happen today. I'm not going to say can happen, but they will if we understand what we've been given. Isn't it true that we tend to complain more about what we don't have than to give God the glory about what we do have? That's satanic stuff, folks, thinking about the negative rather than dwelling on the positives of God. Well, I hope to illustrate that today and help us to understand that God has given us so many benefits and most people tend to ignore it, even people who claim to be blood-bought Christians. We tend to shut off the energy of God's Holy Spirit. The word for that is quenching. But anyway, we're going to look today at an old-fashioned message. It's a doctrinal message about the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and specifically in the lives of believers, starting by when they are saved. I did pray, did I not? Okay. So, friends in Christ, I was convicted a while back as I was preparing messages on spiritual gifts. We've been working on those on Sunday nights. When I looked at some old sermons from 2005 and 2010, just to compare my current fresh preparation. And I've told you before, I don't reuse sermons. I do reuse God's stuff, but I freshly prepare them. And I was convicted by the Holy Spirit as I looked at those messages that maybe I have strayed from doctrinally core-based messages too much. I'll admit it to you. I try to work under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and maybe he's had that reason, but he convicted me here lately. You need to get back to some basic core things, John. These benefits that I've given, that people are reminded of it, and yet you're reminded of it. And I have to admit to you this morning, I think some of my old stuff is better than what we've had currently. And it's all on file. So this morning, we're going to look at a doctrinal message. Doctrine just means what? Irrefutable truth. Irrefutable truth. That's what doctrine is. It's not a big theological term. And we're going to do a quick survey this morning, even though it won't be quick. I fully anticipate this will be a two-part message. I'll warn you right now, we'll be done on time. So chill out. Well, don't chill out, but don't worry about the clock. You know, we used to have someone here at Fruitland back in Pastor Sherwood's day, though. They had an alarm set at noon. Do you remember? Any of you remember that? And at noon, beep, 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 they let it ring out. Well, that didn't stop Pastor Sherwood. But I do respect that we have commitments and we have time, and I try to keep it in line. Because I also think the Bible says we learn a little here, a little there, line by line, precept upon precept. So we'll get what we can get this morning. But the fact of the matter is, folks, as we do this survey of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that pertains specifically to the saved, and let me just say this morning, the Holy Spirit's at work here today in your life if he's calling you to be saved, and you're not. You've never been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. Become a new creature in Christ. That is God's primary will for you today if you are here apart from God. Amen. We just talked about it in the Sunday school class of the junior senior hires. You know, the ark. I mentioned it in the prayer earlier. By the way, Noah didn't shut the door on the ark. God did. But you know who shut the door before God shut it? 120 years Noah preached. Now, I don't know if he stood up at a lectern, but he preached through what? His lifestyle and what he was doing. He was building a boat, and there was never a need for a boat before. Let me tell you, he tried to get people's attention. God tried to through him. Same thing's going on today, folks. But also remember this, that a survey is not complete in its proofs, but only list one or two proof texts, and that's what I'm going to give you today. There are many more, and there usually are, for you and I to mine further on our own. So I want to encourage you today to pick up the pick, pick up the shovel, pick up the rake. By the way, what do you think about when I mention those tools? Do some mining in God's Word. It's rich, folks. You'll be blessed. So on we go today in our investigation of the third personality of the Godhead, who is indeed God the Holy Spirit. So here's your outline, and you have a paper there. Help me if I don't get these brought out to you. But we're going to look, first of all, this morning at the pre-salvation ministry to believers of the Holy Spirit. Now understand this today, God loves every person. God wants everyone to be saved. And we've had some good debates over this, and I'm not going to get into that today. We could debate it. In fact, there's one person here that wants to have a good study. We haven't gotten that done. A personal one, about the doctrine of election and predestination. But let me just say this morning. From our perspective, and from God's revealed perspective to mankind, he wants everyone to be saved, and all can be saved today. And let me just say that the agent of the Holy Spirit is how people get saved, because God calls people to salvation. There is a time when the Holy Spirit gets the hold of a heart of an unsaved person when they can do no other but get saved. Yeah. You will not, it's called the doctrine of irresistible grace, which means you cannot not get saved when the Holy Spirit grabs you by the collar and says, today's the day. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need to be freed from this penalty that you're facing of your sin, which is eternal death. God makes that available to every one of us today, if you're not saved here this morning. But folks, he works behind the scenes, and he works through the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at those texts today, and yes, this might be a little more boring message. You're going to wear your devices out, you're going to wear some paper out, but let me tell you something, folks. They'll still take your money when you pay your phone bill for your device, and they're still printing paper Bibles. Use them. But here's how God begins to work in the life of people. And it's through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And that's your first blank here this morning, or your first thing under the first point. Pre-salvation ministry to believers of the Holy Spirit. And it's that word conviction. It's also a word that's used in the Bible, and the word is reprove. And what that means is that God gets a hold of us at some point when we're going to be saved, and we begin to understand through the preaching of the word that we're on the wrong track. See, we're not headed in a directive that is going to be profitable for us in the sight of God. We're on the wrong track. We're going the wrong way. And we know this, that we have to turn around when we're going the wrong way, or we're going to what? We're going to get wronger. Is that a word? And we're going to what? We're going to end up in destruction. And the Holy Spirit does that to us through conviction, or what the Bible calls reproof. And in your blanks, it just simply means that we're brought to light. The light, through the power of the Holy Spirit of the gospel, comes into our head, because we've not only begun to see this all put together, that we're sinners, we're undeserving of God, we're all wrong. You know, people can admit that, oh, all people make mistakes. Not everyone's to take the blame that we're all sinners, right? You know, there's a significant crowd of people in this world that continues to believe that basically man is good. Sorry, folks, but if you really get down to the nitty-gritty, when you're under this conviction of the Holy Spirit, you'll come to find out that we're not very good at our best. We may not be as bad as we can be, but we're not very good. Because Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, doesn't it? For the heart is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can even know it? Friends, we have a visitor coming in. I don't know if ushers. Good morning. Oh, good. Yeah, Lisa's son. Hey, come join us. Yeah, good morning. Good morning. Jeremy, glad to have you today. But I'd like you to, we've got plenty, no problem if you need one. I'd like you to turn this morning in your Bibles to John 16, 7 through 11. John 16, 7 through 11. And we're going to look at one example of this, but there are many more in Scripture. John 16, verses 7 through 11. This is Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." By the way, what would it have been like to be here with Jesus? This is God in the flesh, teaching, preaching, interacting with people. Do you think that would have made a difference? It should have, but it really didn't, did it? Because what? We see all the way through Scripture. What did people do? They resisted the Lord himself. But folks, this is what we forget. God's influence through the Holy Spirit still here, tapping us on the shoulder, showing us these things. Same thing goes on today, right? But here's what Jesus said. He's introducing the personality of the Holy Spirit into what is going to take place when he, God in the flesh, is no longer here on this earth, after he rises again and departs back into heaven, awaiting his return. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." While Jesus and the disciples had close fellowship as they walked together in the physical sense, Jesus was actually saying, he says, there's a new component coming along that's going to be even better. Because you know what? For the believer, I'm never going to leave you. Because my spirit is going to be there. More on that later, how the spirit is the earnest or down payment. But we're going to be indwelt. Every one of us here today that is a born-again believer has God the Holy Spirit within us. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Stop and think about that sometimes, Pastor John. What have you drugged God the Holy Spirit through in your life? You big dummy. Right? You can say that about me. But I can say that about all of us today. But Jesus said, I'm going to send you, and here in the English version, he says, first of all, the word comforter. In the Greek, that's the word parakletos. What that means is the one who comes alongside, the helper, the one who not only convicts of sin, but brings comfort of the Savior. He says, you're going to have an inborn part of me in you, an internal guidance mechanism. And folks, that begins before we're ever saved. He grabs a hold of us and he begins to direct us. Maybe today there's someone in here that God the Holy Spirit is saying, today you need to be saved. Don't put this off any longer, the door of the ark. You know, I mentioned this morning there was some folks, I got a call, someone had a flat tire down the road, they need a ride. You know, the tires were all good in the car this morning, but something happened. There was something that was hit, I don't know what happened. But never take chances. You may think everything's okay today, but let me just say this, it may not be. This could be the day. If the Spirit's asking you and tapping you and convicting you today, what's the word? He's bringing to light the Savior and bringing to light your sin. Today's the day to act. Now is the time to act. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus says, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will, and there's the word, he will reprove the world of sin. He'll bring to light our condition. And of righteousness and of judgment. You see, these are all influential factors in our salvation. It's one thing to understand how unrighteous we are, but when we see how righteous God is and we realize we cannot live up to that, we know also that what? We need to have that righteousness to be able to stand before him, and that righteousness is only found through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's imputed to us when we receive his Savior. But also the last component of that, of judgment. Because we're not here floating around, folks. God is going to judge the living and the dead. And just let me say this, folks, too. Even though we sit here today, and this is a message that's been heard too much in our wrong teaching today, even though, yes, we're freed from the penalty of hell and the judgment that we deserve in Christ because he took that penalty in our place. But don't ever forget, Christians, we still have responsibilities. Because hopefully the Spirit has shown us what Jesus has done and we say, oh Lord. And he's even given us some of those marching orders. By the way, Jesus said go, didn't he? Go. Do something for me. Spread the gospel around this world. There is judgment coming for the unbeliever, but there is also judgment coming for the believer. And the Holy Spirit, if he is not quenched in your life, will be convicting you of that today. And you'll have a spring in your step, if you're not resisting him, to move, because he again is bringing things to light. It's called reproof. And of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. There is a day of accountability for all of us. And the Spirit warns people of that very thing. And he says, you better go to the judge before he comes to you in judgment. The Spirit convicts and brings to light the things of Christ, the things of sin, the things of judgment, all the things in that text. He's the one that taps us on the shoulder. And my friends, if today's the day that you're to be saved, you cannot resist it. Point B, the Spirit is a witness to Jesus. John 15:26, we're very close here. The Spirit is a witness to Jesus. John 15:26. Jesus was teaching them about the coming Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit of the personality of Jesus Christ. He shows us who Jesus is. Jesus is one of the things that everyone has an opinion about, right? But there's a right answer about Jesus. He was not just a good man, even though he was a good man. But he was God in the flesh. The sinless man who came to pay for our sins and died and then rose again, shed his blood to cover our sins. That's the benevolence of God. And the scriptures give us that. Acts 4:12 says what? In essence, you don't need to turn there, but it says what? There are multiple places you can go to get right with God. No, that's not what it says. It says, there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Amen. The Holy Spirit tells us it's Jesus. He's the one you have to go to. Point C, the Holy Spirit urges people to believe the gospel. Acts 10:43. Remember, this is all pre-salvation, but it's in the process of salvation. Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him should receive what? Remission of sin. By the way, what's remission mean? Cancellation of our sin debt. And who is it to? Through? It's through Jesus. And the Spirit, you see it right there. All the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Hebrews 3:7-8. See, as we begin to unfold this message, and it might be a 3-week message. Hebrews 3:7-8. Hebrews 3:7-8. We're going to find out the benefits that we've been given. Hebrews 3:7-8. If I can get my pages turned here. Hebrews 3:7-8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of testing or temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. There again, it's the Holy Ghost that urges people to believe the gospel. We have the choice to what? To receive it or reject it. But he's the one, the agent for people to be saved, to consider salvation in Jesus Christ. And then point D, and this is the point. The Spirit leads us to repentance and faith. None of this stuff is what we've been taught in many of our churches in modern times, where you decided to get saved one day and it was all what you did. The Bible never gives credence to that in any teaching if you dig it apart. It was all the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't ever forget that. You didn't make that decision of your own doing. You were called by God into his family to be born again. John 6:44. John 6:44. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 6:44. John 6:44. No man can what? Oh, I've heard that so many times. I decided one day to get saved. No. If you did get saved, God drew you to himself. See, this is when we talk about a personal Savior, our salvation is personal. You get what I'm saying? John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Holy Spirit is the agent of God in calling us. And one last turn, Acts 5:29-32. Old Peter, was he used of the Holy Ghost? He did the speaking. The Holy Ghost did the what? The calling. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." You see, God uses people that bring forth the word through the power of the Holy Spirit and the calling of the Holy Spirit to lead people to turn around, to repent, and to receive faith in Jesus Christ. By faith alone. This is dynamic stuff. I'm not a dynamic speaker, but acknowledge this morning in the time that we've had. God works mightily through the Holy Spirit before we're even saved to bring us to salvation. I'm going to do one more point in the second or the first point of part two. We'll come back another time, okay? But if nothing else that you got out of this today, and you have your outlines, you can study these in the days to come. Understand, we've been given benefits. And you know, hey, my benefit plan says XYZ. Remember what I said earlier? We're more concerned about our bank accounts than our blessing accounts. This is our blessing account, folks. We've been given much through the power of the Holy Spirit. And our churches today are dead as doornails because we quench him. We're more worried about the bank account than the blessing account. Anyway, that shows you the background of our pre-salvation through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God's calling to salvation. Now, point two, and this will be where we're at when we come back as well, but the first point today I want to leave you with. But here's the second point today of two. We had the pre-salvational ministry to believers of the Holy Spirit. Now we have the present salvation ministry to believers. And so this is from our salvation on. Point one, or point A, regeneration. I'm still the same old person that I always was physically, right? And I still have a spirit that's tied to the flesh. But, you know, when we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God and brought into salvation, we become a what? Jesus said, a new creature. When the Apostle John was talking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be... When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You must become a new creature in Christ. And yet, for those of us that are here that are saved this morning, we're still the old person, aren't we, in our makeup? But when we are saved, when we, again, yield to the Lord Jesus Christ and his call to salvation, we become a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things become new. The whole thing is, and it's called regeneration. By the way, it's not reformation. There's that circle of influence in the Protestant churches. They've got this idea that we can be changed, you see. It's the old nature just adjusted. Wrong teaching. We cannot be reformed. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. There is none righteous, no, not one. But we can be regenerated as a new creature in Christ. And that's what he does for us. We are regenerated, my friends, at the time of our salvation. And what is involved in that regeneration is a thorough house cleaning, a cleansing, and a new birth. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God, the third personality of the Godhead, is involved in our washing and in our regeneration. He cleanses us and He gives us a new birth. And then John 3:3-8 in finality this morning. And we're going to look through all. You see them on your list, don't you there?
Yes. Yes.
This is your benefit list. By the way, you don't have to go to Jesus and appeal your benefits. By the, that list is not what I wrote up for you. It's what the Bible, what God gave you. You don't have to go into His office someday and say, "Well, Lord, I question my benefit list here." No. He's given you the benefits, but what's happened? You and I haven't what? We haven't used the benefits. We haven't recognized the benefits. See, when we get that figured out, our whole situation, our dynamic changes. We're here by God's grace and His goodness and all these activities that He's promised. It's not about the bank account. It's about the blessing account. It's not about wondering if there's enough. It's about missing out on too much. You get what I'm saying? John 3:3-8. John 3:3-8. This might be a question someone's asking themselves here today when I use statements and where the Bible uses statements like being born again, becoming a new creature in Christ. By the way, Paul said in the book of Romans that God's wisdom is foolishness to men. Some might be in this room today saying, "I don't believe any of this stuff. It's foolishness." But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will call you if you're to be called. And He'll show you the wisdom of God, how wise it is. But here it is, John 3:3-8. Jesus, and this is Nicodemus, okay? Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He's asking about things here. He's acknowledging Jesus is something different. No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. By the way, who do you think was calling Nicodemus to ask Jesus these questions? The Holy Spirit. That's always been the case throughout all time. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except," there's that word except again, meaning there are no exceptions, "except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." By the way, folks, and what Nicodemus is going to ask here, he says, "Well, do I have to go back into my mother's womb?" And Jesus says, "You can't." But what He says is, all of us have been born of physical birth. That's the water part in this. But what brings us into a new relationship with the Lord and what makes us a new creature in Christ is a rebirth, a regeneration spiritually through the act of the Holy Spirit. It's His work. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Folks, apart from a spiritual calling and a spiritually driven regeneration, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I ask you today two things. First of all, have you acknowledged that idea that it takes a regenerative or new birth to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And have you understood how it is accomplished? It is accomplished through the Spirit's call, which He may be calling you today, specifically to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved to call upon Him. Because He is the only way. We've established that. And have you also acknowledged today, my second question, where you stand in regard to God and in regard to sin? Do you admit today that you are a sinner, that you are apart from the righteousness of what a holy God has laid out, and that you're in need of a Savior? Because what the Bible teaches is a doctrine called total depravity, meaning that apart from the call of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus Christ in our salvation, we are what? We are doomed, because we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot be made right of our own doing. We need the regenerative washing and renewal, the new life given through the Holy Spirit of God and acted through the Holy Spirit's coercion. I ask you today, how does that stack up in your life and in mine? And thirdly, I'll throw one last one in here in closing. If you are a born-again believer here, you know that you've been saved in Jesus Christ. How are you handling the benefits? Are you more worried about your bank account than your blessings account? Have you quenched the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you shoved him off to the side? Even though he indwells you, have you resisted that? Folks, today, God wants a dynamic life for you. Jesus wants that for every believer. He wants it to be vibrant. He doesn't want it to be humdrum. Maybe you came here humdrum, but today I pray the Spirit of God will convict you as you look through these benefits that he's given you to be dynamic, to be engaged with him today. So today as we depart, several things. Number one, have you been tapped on the shoulder by the Holy Spirit? If you're being tapped today, don't resist it. Go to the Lord. Go before the door is closed. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I know that's written to the churches, but it's the case, folks. Jesus wants in your life today. He loves you. He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to make you a new creature through the agent of the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned earlier, today is a day for believers. If we have not acknowledged these things before, or we have not allowed the Spirit free reign and free course in our life, why don't you let him have it today? Why don't you, John? You know, things could get interesting. Forgive us, Lord. We've chosen humdrum over dynamic. And it has to do with the agent of the Holy Spirit. Convict us, Lord. Help us. Help us as we look through these points to come to understand what you've done so much for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 249, or it's on the screen. I trust today will not be like many other days where we continue to downplay the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but realize we possess, we'll look at that later too, the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives, if you're a believer here today. He's come. It's all available to us today, folks. The full dynamics of God. How do you handle that power today? You know, we sang about that as we started today. The power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just like the song says here, are you ready to spread the tidings around? Are you ready to enjoy what God has given us today? Don't continue to resist, but walk with him today. Make that choice today to let the Spirit and the power of the Spirit have free course in your life, in your walk. And just see what mighty things God can do yet in the year 2021. He's not done. The only problem is, are we done with him? That's something to think about. If God's working in your life today, go to him. Doesn't mean you have to come to the front of the church. But let me just tell you, it'll be more beneficial to take a moment with God than to get out that door if there's something that needs accomplished today. And I would say this, folks, in most cases, probably our whole congregation this morning should be on our knees before God. Right? Yeah. Let's work on it together, amen. Help us, Lord. Let's sing this. The Comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings round wherein man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Aren't you thankful today for what God has done through the power of the Holy Spirit? Lonnie, would you dismiss us today in prayer, please?